Good morning. George Watkins here on this bright and sunny, almost summer morning. Welcome to Wednesday. I look forward to our time together each and every morning. And I'm rejoicing again in the goodness of God and the faithfulness of our Father. Hallelujah. So, how are you all? And I trust that God is moving and speaking to you regularly. We've gone over some wonderful thoughts in the last few weeks about personal fellowship, face-to-face conversation. So I want to talk about that a little bit more today. Before I do, thank you for subscribing and all the other things that happen along the way that help the internet be a little more effective. The thumbs up, the attaboys, comments, sharing, subscribing, all those things seem to give a little more prominence on the internet. I still wonder what they do behind the scenes, but that's another that's another issue. All right. Well, I had a word dropped on me a couple of days, this morning or last night late. And worked it out as we talked about it and prayed about it. I want to share to you about a fence around the people's house. When that phrase was dropped on me, the first picture I had was the picture that we've been seeing in the on the news in the last year, maybe longer, where they have put barbed wire around the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Now, that's called the people's house. The reason it's called the people's house is because that's where the people go for justice and guidance and help and input. Matter of fact, in the early days, the senators were part-time. They were they had a business, they had a farm, they owned a factory or whatever they did. They came part-time. They were part-time politicians. So they were part of the people. They understood the people. They lived among the people. They felt the pain and the suffering and the joys of living in a community. And they would come and they would input the people's voice into the house. Well, by the circumstances we've been through in the last few months, years, a couple of years maybe, they have thrown up barbed wire around the house. Well, that tells me something about the spiritual voice. Everything that happens in the natural can be reflected in the spiritual. And then the Lord took me to the people's house we call the church. Not just the building, but the function of the body of Christ is where the people are involved in the functioning of the house. So let's talk about that a little bit today in comparison to what has happened in our national center, and even our state centers also, state capitals, some of them have reflected the same, hands off, stay away, don't tell me what to do, I'm in charge. And if they haven't put a wire around their capitals in your state, they have done it in the with laws or with the threats or just with the attitude they have. In the church, in the body of Christ, we see the same thing happens. Now, what I'm saying today is not a blanket charge on every breathing, living person out there. Give me a break. But we're talking about the principles of things and what we see in a general sense. For instance, let's go back into the 300-500 AD, when the Catholic Church began to rule and dominate, and it was the Roman Catholic Church where they began to form the church like the Roman army. That's what they did. And they had their bishops and their overseers and so forth. Well, at one point, at a long point, they read the Bible in Latin. Nobody knew Latin, so only the educated, only the chosen, only the special people could read the Bible. Now, what was that? That was a fence around the house of God, the family of God, the things of God. And it had actually, it It had actually Old Testament and Old Covenant principles. The Old Covenant was when God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to the people. And the people were just la-la land. They were out there, you know, trying to not burn too many golden calves, or make too many, I should say. And they failed and they flopped all the time. But they had no direct contact with God. My understanding is that God called the entire tribes into rulership and leadership. They were going to be the voice of God to the world, but it was boiled down then to the tribe of Levi, and then they boiled it down to the priest. And Moses at one point, obviously, and then the priest took over, and then the elders, and then the tradition of the saint, of the elders, on to where when Jesus came on the scene, he was coming up against that wall and that wire fence around God's house. In one setting, in Matthew 21, when he was being challenged by the elders, they came to a point where they could not give an answer because they were afraid of what the people would think. So here we have the elders then being manipulated by the pressure of the society around them instead of leading the people into the things of God, into truth. Okay, don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but I just want to bring out a thought that I am seeing in the body of Christ, and it has to do with personal revelation versus revelation from the pulpit, or revelation that is sanctioned by the church you're in. I've been there. I've lived it out. I've done it myself. But God's moving us into some greater revelation, into a new realm of activity called the body of Christ. And it has to do really with Ephesians 4 and 11. Now, Ephesians 4 and 11 is where we have our foundational thought on the fivefold ministry. I've been teaching, preaching, and really activated in fivefold ministry for a long, long time, maybe 30, 40 years. Now, am I perfect in what I do? No, but revelation is a muscle, and you work it, and you learn it, and you grow into it. And the further you get into revelation, a revelation, the broader and the brighter and the clearer it gets. So the fivefold ministry is not supposed to reorganize leadership so that leadership hears from God and you sit in the pew with your mouth agasp because it's so brilliant and you wonder how they ever hear that and where do they ever get that. And then we go to the next conference and, you know, convention, and they bring in the heavy hitters that have been with God and they've had these experiences. And they tell us again how God showed up and how the angels came and how the fire of God showed up in the room. And yet, very few in the last century, in the last decades for me, have taught us how to do that ourselves. Because, now listen, I think this is important in Ephesians 4 and 11. That group of people, the apostle, the pastor, evangelist, teacher, so forth, they are to bring the body of Christ to a place. And this doesn't take 5 or 10 or 15, 20 years. It just takes a matter of doing it to where they can go into the same holy of holies that the man or woman of God in the pulpit, or the one leading the organization, or the one with the, the doctor, and I have one, but they are just, Joe the plumber and, Betty the baker, all those things. That person who has no seminary, has no formal education, has the same opportunity to have a revelation that is meaningful and important and part of the house of God. This is what Paul meant when he said, when you come together, one has a song, a psalm, a teaching, revelation, a prophecy, let it all be done decently and in order. So that means let the body of Christ come together What did you hear? What did you see? What happened when you went into the Father's throne room this week? Coming from the people. It's the people's house. Oh, I know. This takes away our organization and, you know, our organized services. And how could we do that and have people come in the back door that don't know God? And the problem is we've turned our churches into soul-winning stations for people that are coming in, that, you know, brand new people. We want to be presentable so they don't run out the door. Okay, I don't argue that. That's part of the structure. However, in the New Testament church, which was baby church, you know, I mean, they weren't matured, but it was baby church. They didn't let anybody but believers in. That's why Paul could go into a teaching all night long. What in the world did he teach all night long? Well, I imagine it was a kind of a heavy dose of gospel truth and revelation. Why? Because the converts didn't happen in those settings. The converts happen like they're doing in Iran, where they're making disciples before they make converts. How do you make a disciple? Loving one another. Love is the center plumb bob for everything that gospel has to do with it. Everything we do is from love itself. You say, well, what about doctrine? What if someone doesn't believe like I do? What if they have some screwy revelation? They come out of the throne room and they, you know, they believe in pink frogs or something. Well, you're to love them anyway until the Holy Spirit can rearrange and change and fix. Trust the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this is not meant to be the say-all to end-all. I want to just stir your thinking a little bit about the body of Christ being fenced off by revelation, by not allowing us to go into the throne room and come out with a revelation. Now, the scripture tells us that 1 John 2 and 27, no man should teach us. The anointing that you have abides in you, and it will guide you into all truth. That is a scary thing for the normal organized denominational setting. How can I allow the people to have their own revelation if it's not doesn't fit with our denominational and structural belief system? Okay. What do you do if someone comes in who is a Mormon or is a Jehovah's Witness or is a Muslim? What do you do with them? You love them, and love covers and love guides. And I know we want to make sure we don't have danger in the house. And I agree with that. There's things that you don't allow to happen. You don't give those people, you know, voice time. You love them in a place where they're not going to damage anything until God gets a hold of them. All right. Enough of that. How about it? Don't be a sitter with your mouth open at the latest revelation that someone tells you about that they've been talking to God. You are a candidate to go into the throne room of God and find help in the time of need. That's the promise of the Lord. You, Joe the plumber and Betty the baker, or, you know, Ralph the singer, whoever you are, common everyday people like us, have the right and the privilege to hear the voice of the Lord. Next time you have a question, instead of calling the pastor or the evangelist or the apostle, how about going on your knees, sitting in a chair or laying on the floor, and going into the presence of the Lord and ask God the question, and then let him answer that. Exercise your muscle. You have been called to do the ministry in the body of Christ, in the house of God, and in the people's house. It's you. Ephesians 4:11 said, we've got this group of five, but they're just to bring you up to speed and kick your starter and put your spark in place and get you going to do the ministry of the Lord. Now, how do you do it? By knowing the Lord's personal face and his presence and his voice and he will lead you and guide you. Remember 1 John 2:27, you don't have need of any man teach you. You've got the anointing in you, and it will abide in you forever. Dangerous? Oh, it's fun. It's scary, but it's God's purpose for you and I to grow up and be part of God's house and function like we've been called to. Amen. Well, things like this, thoughts like this can stir up some emotional feelings, take something away, or you're criticizing something. No. When we hear or see something that God's talking to us about, we share it, and then we talk about it. We pray about it. If it witnesses, good. If it doesn't, put it on the back burner. Let it simmer. Some of the things that I'm teaching and preaching and believing now, I had to let simmer for a decade or two. They came to me early through friends or through experiences or meeting someone that spoke into my life. And I had to say, okay, Lord, it sounds good, but how does it fit me? I don't know what to do with it. Wow, that's a wild one. I got to put that one aside. Didn't cast it out, but like Mary said, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And she pondered those things in her heart. Hallelujah. Don't let them put a fence in front of God's throne. Don't let them block God's throne. The scripture says, Jesus said, you elders, you won't go in. Talking about going into the throne, the presence of the Lord, and you won't let the people go in. So don't let them put a fence around you or your relationship with God. You have an ear. Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. So you've got an ear. Tune it in. God wants to speak to you today. Isn't that something? Glory to God. Well, bless you guys and gals. I love you all, and I thank God for each of you, the ones I know, and the ones I don't know, I love also, till I get to know you. Amen. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for your financial giving. It's a blessing. It's big, big help as we go down the road and move forward in the projects and the calling God has given us. We bless you back. We pray for you. And we thank God for multiplication back into your life because of that. You can give through PayPal right down there in the show notes, and also the snail mail. There's an address there. Until tomorrow, Thursday comes, whether we like it or not. And here we're going to rejoice when we see each other again in the morning. Until then, be strong. Let the Lord guide you and slip in to the warm presence of the Lord this week, and let him speak to you.